The Ultimate Takeover Weekend.
BF Festival.
Featuring Edge Rock. Here it comes.
Rewind. The A to Z of BFBS music.
The BF Festival Takeover Weekend
continues
with
BFBS Rewind.
Hatch and Gear with Marty Pellow.
This is BF Festival Rewind with Hatch and Gear, and we're all about the bands today. And we're thrilled to welcome a member of one of the biggest bands from the 80s and 90s. It's Marty Pellow from Wet, Wet, Wet.
Woo, woo! Hey, Marty.
How you doing?
Hey, thanks very much for having me. I like that. A lot of your whip top there.
Is that your bedroom? What's that big four poster? I bet a lot of action happens in that behind
that's,
you.
That's my spare bedroom. As you can see, that I borrowed that bed from Ebenezer Scrooge. You know, I kind of work in here, you know, and this is where I get dispatched to, and it seems to be the quietest part of the house, you know. So,
It looks lovely, I'm going to say. So, how's lockdown been for you? Have you spent a lot of time in that room?
Well, I've taken to it really easy, you know. I'm kind of like, this is the longest time I've ever spent at home, which for me is a bit of a blessing, really, because, you know, but when it all came to a kind of grinding halt in March 2020, you know, I was kind of like doing 8 shows a week almost, or,
really?
You know, I'd be out doing this and touring and, you know, I just come back from Los Angeles and, you know, I was keeping myself very busy and which involved a lot of traveling. So for me, this is in one way, it's been a blessing. I now know where everything is in the house. And you know what else? A year in, everybody in the house is still talking to me. So I must be doing something right. Do you know what I mean?
Who have you got in your house? Who's around you day to day? You say you're all getting on still.
I've got my close and immediate family, you know, that live with me in the house. You know, so there isn't lots of us. You know, there's a small bit of a clique of people who are living in the house with me, and that's the way we just keep it, you know. So it's small. But I love the whole idea of just being able to spend some time with my family, which is first and foremost a luxury in itself. Because, you know, the one thing that I've learned through this whole year is that when the garden gates do open, and the front door is we're allowed to go back out and reintegrate and do all those wonderful things again. For the first month or so, it'll be nothing to do with music or anything like that for me. I'll be going to visit extended family and just doing a bucket load of hugging.
You know? Totally. No, you're totally, totally right. It's funny. Have you learnt anything? It's quite a reflective period, isn't it, lockdown? We're all kind of thinking about our life a little bit and making big life decisions and stuff. Have you learnt anything? Is there anything that you've learnt? Or what's the kind of takeaway for you from lockdown?
Well, I'm pretty, you know, I'm quite a positive person in general. And I love the idea that I'm pretty cool with just sitting with myself, you know. And the thing that I wanted to do that when I lift the baton and continue to go back to whatever normality or whatever normal is, that all those things that we sat in the wee hours of the day thinking, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, but and really prioritise what I want to do in the future and be a little bit more gentle with myself in the way that we interact with others and we move forward out of this. So when we march out of that front door, we do it with a sense of balance for the future. Great.
Yeah.
One.
Here. Now, we're going to talk about your new music very soon.
No, let's talk to somebody else.
But we've been rewinding to some of your classics today. Now, if you had to choose your biggest influence from the 80s and 90s, which band would that be?
Oh, instantly. The first band that springs to mind is Crowded House. I've been such a big fan of Crowded House for many, many years, and they're my go-to band. So for me, Crowded House, Four Seasons in One Day, have been such my favourite 80s icons. Love those guys.
Four seasons in one day, lying in the depths of your imagination, worlds above and worlds below. The sun shines on the black clouds hanging over the domain. Even when you're feeling warm, the temperature could drop away. Like four seasons in one day. Smiling as the dish comes down, you can tell a man from what he has to say. Everything gets turned around. I will risk my neck again, again. You can tell. creaking through the mill. Like all the things you can't explain. Four seasons in one day. Blood. Prediction, sleeping on an unmade bed, finding out wherever there is comfort, there is pain. Only one step away, like four seasons in one day. Blood dries up.
Festival Takeover Weekend.
BFBS Rewind.
Hatch and Gear with Marty Pello.
This is BFBS Festival Rewind with Hatch and Gear, and we're with Marty Pello. Now, Love Is All Around was obviously a massive hit for you, thanks to it being featured in Four Weddings and a Funeral. And what was it like for you when you were at your peak with that song?
Well, I think that song is one of those kind of, for the want of a better word, quite a freaky song. And what I mean by that is that I remember songs like Bryan Adams, the Bryan Adams one from Robin Hood, or the Whitney Houston song, also that was had an affiliation with these massive mega movies. You know, there seemed to be, you know, like whatever the big movie was, there was always a big hit record that came from it.
Yeah.
And Love Is All Around was associated, as you said, with Four Weddings and Our Funeral. But I never in my wildest dreams thought it would be one of those songs that would have the staying power at number one that it did. And, you know, when I look back now through the passage of time, I can look back on it and I think, my God, you know, 4.5 months at number one. At the time I was living in Capri and I was doing a lot of recording there. And every week I'd lift the phone up and I'd say, well, how's that song going? And they would say, oh, no, it's still number one. And, you know, we'd jump on the plane and fly back to do Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. It was just a great chapter in my career. And, you know, I still sing the song today and people will say, oh, God, I got married to that song.
Yeah,
and
totally, totally.
You know,
yeah.
And you're like, ah, fantastic. You know, so that's what it's all about.
You must have bought some stupid rock star stuff with when
yes,
the money, when the money started rolling in. What's your silliest purchase looking back now?
Well, I think it's got to be, for me, it was cars. I love my cars, you know. And it was flagged up by my good lady that I only have one bum. You know, so she kind of kiboshed that one for me. But and now I reevaluate and I look back and I go, you know, I only need one car. But I guess things like that, you know, all those things that you say you'll do if you're blessed to have a career that can make you financially stable in your life, that those are the things that you want to enjoy, and especially at a young age.
Yeah.
You know, being in your 20s.
And, totally.
You know, yeah. I remember buying my first Ferrari and I think to myself, this is unbelievable. This is a poster of the car that I had up in my bedroom and I was, you know, when I was a wee boy or whatever and I wanted that car. I used to think, one day I wonder and there I am, I'm driving it and I have it. It's not what defines you.
No.
But, you know, I mean, you know, because I would say to my dad would say, how much was that? Or I would have to show respect towards my father because he'd been out working all week for 150 quid in the snow and the rain.
Doing a proper job.
You have to be respectful of that and be respectful of how you present that because it's like going into a pub. You know, you don't want to buy everybody a drink because you'd be a flash so-and-so.
Yeah.
If
totally.
You don't buy any, yeah. If you don't buy anybody a drink, then you're a tight so-and-so.
Yeah.
So success and fame, you have to navigate
totally.
And show the respect it deserves so that you still find yourself and you're not defined by the trappings.
When you were kind of hanging out with all your fellow peers in the 80s and 90s, you know, who were they? Who were your kind of most famous chums?
I can remember standing on stage with Uncle Joe, as they called him, Uncle Joe Cocker. Now, I just had my first number one with Getting By with a little help from my friends. And, you know, I was doing a gig and I just watched The Who and, you know, Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey. We'd been at some awards ceremony and there was a band. There was a band that we put together for that evening. You know, so I was singing, Uncle Joe was singing. And then I looked to the right and I was like Eric Clapton on guitar and Elton John on piano.
Wow.
And you're thinking, where did it all go wrong? You know, and so I would always have those moments where I would pinch myself, you know, if I was singing with, I don't know, singing with Peter Gabriel or these, because I'm a fan of music.
Yeah.
And to find yourself and when you meet Paul McCartney for the first time or something, you're like, okay, he's a Beatle, what do I say here? And you try not to embarrass yourself because you want to go, ah, yeah, yeah,
totally, yeah. I know, yeah.
And I'm trying to play it cool. Hey, Paul, how are you going? But internally, I want to ask him so many questions.
Of course you do.
Because I'm a fan of music,
yeah.
You know, and you know, how lucky am I? That's fantastic. So, yeah, I've met a few people.
You have met a few people. Now, we're obviously a fan of Wet, Wet, Wet. We need, what's your favourite Wet, Wet, Wet track?
My favourite Wet, Wet, Wet song is This Time from the Memphis Sessions.
Stand to see you cry again before I do. Girl, you know I'd rather die when the sun peeks through my window. I'll be loving you and you'll be loving me this time.
BFBestival. BFBS Rewind.
Hatch and Gear with Marty Pello.
This is BFBestival Rewind with Hatch and Gear, and we're with Marty Pello. Now, Marty, can we talk about your new album before you go? It's called Stargazer, and it came out last week. Is there a central theme? What's it about?
Well, this was a different album for me. You know, when I started writing this album, I gravitated towards the guitar more than the piano, and it made me interact with my songwriting in a different way. I hadn't done that in a very, very, very long time. You know, so most of it was written on the guitar, and I had been listening to a lot of kind of early Bowie, early Roxy music, a lot of the Kinks, and those influences seemed to work their way into this, the fabric of this album. So for me, it's there was a lot of inspiration that came from that genre of the early 70s, and that's what dictated the soundscape of the album. So that's what kind of makes it a wee bit different for me.
Brilliant.
What makes you want to keep making music? Because, you know, you could go and retire and live a nice life and sort of live off what you've already made, but obviously you still want to make music.
Oh, can you imagine just going and do that? I would be bored doing my tree. I would be like, oh no, I couldn't think of anything like that. I think every day's a school day when it comes to songwriting. My love and my passion and my obsession, to be fair, is my music. And I love to always keep pushing the envelope within songwriting. I love interacting with other writers, and because I love to see how people's imaginations roll when they write, and I love that.
Are you going to tour the album? Is that the plan?
Yeah, that's the plan. You know, when it's good and safe, and you know, and everybody's kind of cool with doing it, you know, I'm pretty much going to go out there and do that. And that's because that's something that I really enjoy, whether or not it's musical theatre I'm doing or singing songs, you know, doing my day job of what. As a singer-songwriter, I thoroughly enjoy that whole sense of connection, and it's something I'm really looking forward to. And it's something that really is a big part of my makeup. But I'm really looking forward to it because I think people will be, when they get allowed afforded the luxury, go and see the artists that they enjoy and love, then it's going to be such a special feeling for me, because I'll feel that energy that comes, because you want to feel connected, and that's the whole point, because it's reciprocated as it goes round in a circle from the cheers and the laughter and the singing that I hear back from the audience.
You must have found that your audience have really grown with you. I told somebody I was interviewing you today and she said, oh my God, I had him on my walls when I was a teenager. Well, you know, she's in her 50s now and still adores you. So when you perform at these gigs, are your audience kind of growing up with you?
Yeah, and it never ceases to amaze me, you know, when, you know, I'm going about my business and I'm like 18, 19, I've got a popped in sold out t-shirt on or something, they'll say to me, I love wet, you know, and I'll go, how old are you? And they'll say, oh, I'm 18. And then, you know, my granny listens to your music as well as my mum. You know,
that's going, so funny. That's
go,
so good.
I say, that's fantastic. You know, as they rediscover my back catalogue of music through the internet and all the social media platforms, and it's at a press of a button, they can just go back and watch my entire back catalogue and I can share all those fashion faux pas with them too. Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah, no, it's funny, isn't it? I remember 1987, I was going out with a girl, and this is when you brought out Angel Eyes. And I just remember me and you not really getting on around that time, because totally fancied you. It was so awkward all the time. Angel Eyes this, Angel Eyes that, all the time. I was absolutely sick. And there was one moment, I remember you'd done a TV show and they were rewinding it back and forth. And this was quite funny. And I quite enjoyed this. And you might not like this story, but you accidentally hit yourself with a microphone in the head. You did a thing with it, and it hit you. And I thought it might have broken the magic with her, just for a second, that she might fall out of love with you. And then you smiled, you smiled, and it was back on.
Game on again. You see, you know, you got to bring the big guns out in times of embarrassment. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I know. This is how you go. And see, that's the thing about see if I'm the type of person. See if I'm trying to be cool or thinking internally inside, but hey, I'm cool. I'm working this. It does not work for me. I have a tendency, you know, just sing the song, Marty. Be yourself.
Well, look, I think we could talk to you all day. It's been absolutely fantastic catching up with you, Marty. Thank you so much for your time. We've got to play a track from your new album. If you were to pick one, which one should it be?
Well, the first single from my stunning new album, Stargazer, it has to be These Are The Days. Simple song, just about great times thinking about my youth. Oh, I love that. I hope you enjoy it. And yeah, these are the days. Let's go for it. Play that one.
Cheers, buddy.
That's brilliant.
No one ever thought that the day would end. A million days of summer with long lost friends. Every song we sang was like freedom in our hands. And no one ever thought that we'd ever change. 20,000 dreams falling off the page. Feeling so on fire, we could walk through flames. So we rolled like thunder, blue jean legends. And we rolled like we'd invade a Saturday night. The dogs as we sold the sun. Faces in the mirror with all the scars we've won. No one ever thinks that they found their dreams. I stand and look at you and I know it's real. You're my Hollywood, you're my worldwide number one. 'Cause these are the days. Let's roll.